You know, we've been working on Grace for Living. I think they call this a series. This is probably the third part in the series. But here, you remember, I've repeated this a couple of times. Niles Cupp gave a prophetic word several years ago. We're going to see some of the greatest manifestations of healing we've ever seen because we know what it means to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we, yet what? Without sin. Let us therefore what? Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We have not the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may first obtain mercy, forgiveness for what we've done, and find grace for what we need. Grace gives you what you don't deserve. Mercy covers what you've done. Come on, get your mercy and then find the grace you need to help in time of need. But it said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. You know what that word boldly means? Now let me give it to you. It means comes to the throne with freedom and frankness. Don't come up begging. Now you got God sitting on the throne. Now get this picture. God's sitting on the throne, and your attorney's sitting in his right hand. And you're coming before the throne of grace, and the adversary is coming with him to accuse you. And he's the high priest of your confession.
That's right.
Amen. Jesus doesn't have to say anything. God doesn't have to say anything. But with all boldness and frankness, you tell Satan what's yours. He's the high priest of your confession.
That's right. You got to tell it.
You got to tell it. You got to say the same thing he says. That's coming with frankness. Come with boldness and frankness declaring what he says about you. It's time to stand up and declare boldly what he said about you. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find the help we need in time. Because he is the high priest of our confession. And we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. Where did Satan get all this? Jerry knows this is a fact. Some of you may not. But anytime you start delivering somebody from demons, we used to do it all the time. And the first spirit would surface is a spirit of mockery.
That's right.
And he'd start laughing at you.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he learn that? From heaven? Watching God react to everything that's going on earth? And realizing that when God laughed, it shut everything else down. So that spirit of mockery is a copy of what God does in heaven, trying to get you intimidated and make you feel like you're not worthy to do that. But I'm telling you, that's the time. And every time without fail, didn't it, Jerry? All I'd say is, are you laughing at the blood of Jesus? It's over. It's over. See, we're living in times we need to boldly. To be bold, I'm not talking about arrogance and being a dummy. I'm talking about standing against the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
And declare boldly before the throne of grace with frankness who you are and what you have in Christ. Everything's been paid for. It is finished. Jesus is seated at the right hand of what? The throne. What is the throne? It's the throne of grace. It is called the throne of grace. Everything's been paid for at that throne. So it's time to rise up and not let the accuser. What does it say, 1 John? My little children, I would that you don't sin. But if you sin, we got an advocate. You got a lawyer at the right hand of the Father. He don't have to even say anything. Because what he's done carries you from past, present, to future.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the righteous, who has made us righteous. So you need to boldly proclaim who you are and what he's done for you. And it's time to stand up and to do that. You know, in Matthew 25, it says, when you come to the altar and there, you remember that you got all against your brother. Now, who was Jesus talking to? Those that was under the law, right? And you got a gift. And he says, if you're upset and your brother's mad at you, you better go make it right with your brother before you leave your guilt at the altar, the gift on the altar. And he also goes to say, he said, when you're going by the way and your brother has aught against you, he says, about your brother, he says, you better get that worked out real quick before he brings you to the judge. And the judge brings you to the jailer. And you ain't coming out till you pay the whole thing. Right? Get that dealt with. That's under the law. But under grace, Jesus already took care of all that. And he's seated at the right hand of God. So now you go, what? Boldly to the throne of grace and get all that stuff. Get the mercy covered and find the grace you need in time of help. To need. Help in time of need. You got that? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy. 1 Peter. You get that? I was thinking about Brad Burke. Remember he taught something along those lines about that? Yeah, y'all remember vaguely? I don't remember the message exactly, but it was along these same lines. Huh? Yes. There you go. Bless those that persecute you. Woo! All right. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7 says, but the end of all things is his hand. Be ye therefore sober. What does sober mean? It means don't be drunk with wine. Be sober-minded and watch into prayer. And above everything, say above everything. Amen. Have fervent love. Charity there is agape among yourselves. For agape, love, shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one with another without what? Grudging. Use hospitality with one another without grudging. As every man, how did we receive it? As every man has received the gift. How did we receive the gift? By grace through faith. Right? How did you receive it? As every man has received the gift, you got it by grace through faith. Even so, minister what? The same one to another. As good stewards of the manifold or many-sided grace of the God. Now, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. What's he saying? Say the same thing. When the devil took Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted, and he said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Jesus didn't argue with him. He said, it is written. Say the same thing God said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then he took him to a high pinnacle, set him up there and said, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it's written. He'll give his angels charge, and Jesus just said what? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. And then he showed him all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them, said, all this I'll give you if you'll worship me. Jesus said the same thing God said. You shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. If you're going to speak, let it be as the oracles of God. Say the same thing. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability that God gives. If you have an ability, would you get it? God gave it to you. God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom praise and dominion forever and ever. As every man has received the gift. Guess what that little word is? Lambano. And what does that mean? It means to take by force what is yours. Let me say that again. As every man has received. That Greek says there, to take by force what's yours. Don't just be passive. You take it. It's yours. He's given it to you. Take it. Take it. And as you take it, you take that gift, and you do what with it? You minister that same grace that he gives you to somebody else, and then guess what happens? He gives you more grace. It's grace for grace. Of his fullness have we received grace in exchange of grace. You can't, while you're sitting around, check that out. That scripture bugs me. It says, of his fullness have we all received grace for grace, and that word for is exchange. He gives us grace in exchange for grace. And I've been wrestling with that. God gives you grace to do something with it. Why? So you can exchange it for another. Yes. But the only way you can exchange it for another is to give it to somebody else. Thank you, Lord. Grace for grace. Grace in exchange for grace. He gives you a gift, and it's not for you. It's for you to give to somebody else. And you give that gift to somebody else, and then he gives you another one. It's grace in exchange of grace. That's as you receive it, by grace through faith. How do you give it? By grace through faith. Then he gives you more grace. Grace upon grace. Multiplied grace. As a good steward of the manifold, many-sided grace of God. I'm telling you, it's so much. It's called the riches of his grace. Of the riches of his grace. He wants us to understand. Freely have received, do what? Freely give. Whew. You know, you get to thinking about all he's done for us. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, we was talking today about Paul. You know, one thing about Paul went through a lot. And you know, Paul was talking about his thorn in the flesh, and it said, three times I besought God to take it away from me. How many times did Jesus beseech God to take it away? Three times. Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Paul said that he had, because of the abundance of revelation he had, there was given to him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And he said, I besought God three times to take this from me. But he said, no, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I was telling the guys this morning, as I saw this, I've struggled with that verse. And you look in the chapter before, and Paul starts talking about, he said, I'm going to, even though many glory in the flesh, I'm going to go ahead and glory in the flesh a little bit, even though I know better. And he talks about all the things that he went through and suffered for the Lord. And then in chapter 12, he says, in the Message Bible, he said, I'm going to say this against my better judgment, but since I've started, I'm going to go ahead and finish. I knew a man in Christ. And you know what the Lord was showing me there with Paul? You know, Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisee. Paul will tell you all he did. Everywhere Paul went, especially among the Corinthians, they were saying to him, you're not one of the original apostles. Who do you think you are? And you know, he would get caught up in this thing and he'd say, well, I worked harder than all of them put together. Are you out there? And if you read those two chapters, you're going to see something. What Paul's thorn was pride in the flesh. It was pride in the flesh. Paul struggled with the same things we struggle with. He had it all, and he knew he had it all, but he knew all he had was dung in relationship to the new creation he had. But every time he went, that thing would spring up. See, we've all got thorns in the flesh of some kind or another. It's sin working in your members. But that root of pride thing, it's the original sin. And your old man is saturated with it. Everything in this world is about lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You got to be number one. You got to be successful. You got to do all this stuff. And all that stuff's working. And that's the thing, Paul would do it, and then immediately he'd feel guilty for what he did. And even Romans in chapter 7, when he's talking about, he said, I want to do what God wants me to in the inner man, but I see another thing working in my members to bring me under condemnation. Amen? That's the struggle that's going on. See, you got to recognize where the struggle's going on and come boldly to the throne of grace to do what? Find mercy and grace and time to help and tell it to hit the road, Jack.
That's right. Amen.
We don't have time to mess with this stuff anymore. It's time to grow up and to go on in what God's trying to say. Amen? Let us go on. That's what it was. He says, because of the abundance of revelation, lest I be exalted. Lest who be exalted? Come on, say it. I. Who is the I? It's that old thing. Lest that old thing get exalted, he gave me a thorn in the flesh. What was that? Pride. And he knew just as sure as the world what that thing was. He didn't like it any more than you don't like it. But it always seemed to surface. And you think about it. Why did Jesus, they came to Jesus and said, Master, you planted good seed. What is all this tares coming from? He said, the devil did that. The enemy did. Well, you want us to pull it out? He said, don't bother. Just let them both grow together till the harvest. So, you know, there's things growing together until the harvest in every one of us.
Yes.
But he said, don't pay him any attention. Just let them grow together to the harvest. Then there's a separation. Don't focus on the tares. Focus on the grain. Don't focus on the old. Focus on the new. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you focus on the flesh, trying to overcome the flesh, you're going to be overcome of the flesh. Looking to Jesus, to what? Author and the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And where does sin still have its foothold in us? Your flesh is the only place. It's the only place it has access. Amen. Okay. You know, he said, what did Paul say? Paul's thorn in the flesh was so painful, he, like Christ, asked God to take it away 3 times. Nothing, not even the painful experiences Paul was going through, could make him doubt his identity. Could make him doubt his what? See, that's what Satan's after. His identity and calling. And it brought him to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rejoice in my weakness in the flesh, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Because when I am weak, then am I made strong. And his grace is sufficient. Amen. He said, I'm going to glory in my ability so the grace of God can come on me. Circumstances are opportunities for God to prove to you his sufficiency, his all-powerful grace. When we're weak, then are we strong. We got to stand fast in the power that God has given us and his gifts. So as good stewards, as every man has received, give it away. Give it away. Give it to someone. Not another gift. I can't give somebody the prophetic giftings. I can't. But you know what I enjoy? I get to hang around the prophets a little bit. And you know the first thing I've noticed? They've given me a little of that. And I can prophesy among the prophets. Amen. Amen. Is that right? But somebody had a pastor call me and said, would you come up and do a prophetic conference at our church? I know a couple of pastors got in trouble doing that. I said, no, I won't. That's not what I do. I'm not coming. So, sorry. So then he calls me back in about a couple of months, said, will you come up and do an exchange and deliverance meeting? Be glad to. I can give that away. You can't give away what you haven't received. You can only give away what you have. And as every man has taken it, give the same away as good stewards. It's your responsibility, Ross. I've been with Ross in several places eating. Every time, I know it's happening. As soon as we sit down and the waiter comes up, he starts giving her what he's got. My wife does the same thing. I remember one time in Amarillo, we went out after a meeting, and she come up and she said, you need to call your mom. You don't even know who this woman is. Why are you telling her she needs to call her mom? She started crying. So what have you done to this girl? And this girl said, my mom worked for Kenneth Copeland, and I've been gone from home over a year, and my life has fallen completely apart. I need to go see my mama. I don't have the money to go see her. So guess what? We gave her the money to go see her. Sometimes it costs me for her to use her gift.
Every joint supplies.
We're not here to just to fill a void. We're here to do something with what he gives us to do. I enjoy being around that and watching it. Amen? See, that's what we're here for. To spread the grace of God. We're living by the life and the faith of another. Have you heard yet?
Yeah.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's his faith, which is in me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, the next verse says. How do you frustrate the grace of God? By not using it. Not giving it away. You receive that grace, and it gets frustrated when it stops with you.
That's right.
Grace is gifts.
That's
It's giftings. Take those giftings and use it for the glory of God, because it was given to you to minister to others. And the fruit you grow, it's not your own fruit. Fruit's for somebody else. Let them pluck your fruit. You know what'll happen? You'll grow some more. Maybe even a different kind. Because the Spirit gives to everyone severally as He what? As He will. Sometimes you can give that gift away and it may come in a different form you never knew that existed. It's not up to you. He could give you a gifting that you is totally opposite to what I've seen it work in me. I'm not a prophet, but sometimes I see stuff so clear I get to thinking I'm a prophet. And the first thing I realize, no, that was just a gift passing through. You let it go on pass through. Don't worry about it. Just be open to Him to give you another gift if He wants to. Do not frustrate the grace of God. You know what that word frustrates? To set aside, to disesteem it. Don't take the gift He's given you and just disesteem it as treated of no value. That's what He's saying. We got to quit that. Don't disesteem the grace of God that He's given you. You know, Hebrews 12 talks about failing of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble and thereby meaning be defiled. Don't fail of God's grace. Don't get caught. How does that do that? Root of bitterness. How does root of bitterness come in? By hearing and seeing stuff you don't need to be hearing and seeing and getting offended. And allowing a root of bitterness springing up in you, and thereby many be defiled. Don't fail of the grace of God. Paul, in Galatians chapter 1, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the grace that God called you to another gospel. Which is really not another gospel, but somebody's perverted the gospel. They perverted it. Ephesians 1, 5, 6, having predestined us. Guess what that word? Predetermined. Having predetermined us, not unto, but into the adoption of children. Catch that. Into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. No, it's into Himself, the Greek there. It's into Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Into the praise of the glory of His grace. Not just to the glory, but into the glory. Hey, you're not just to the glory. You're into the glory. Come on now. That's a big word. Everywhere I see that now, I catch it. Everywhere I see it. Because it's not just to, it's into. It's not to, it's into. Into the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us, what? Accepted in the beloved. Highly favored. You know, Paul, a while ago, Steve was talking about giving grace. You know, we're under giving grace. You know what's crazy about that thing as you look at it? He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. And he quotes it all the time. Every man is he purposed in his heart. Let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then it goes on saying, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you have an all sufficiency, may have all to give to anybody that has need. The God of all grace. Where's the grace coming from? Him. He's able to give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. As it passes through you, it goes on to someone else. He's in charge of this grace thing. And he said, if he's abounded in everything, in the Corinthian church, you're abounding, all the gifts are flowing through you. You're doing all these wonderful things, raising the dead, casting out devils, healing the sick. You're doing all these things. No gifts coming short. He said, but you know, you're lacking something. He said, why don't you abound in giving grace while you're at it? Why don't you abound in this grace also? Catch it? The giving grace. Don't, you know, you think, well, I can't give. Listen, He's the one that gives you grace to give. Don't cut Him short. Don't resist. Don't neglect the grace that God gives you to give. Because He's in charge of the giving. You cut yourself off from that grace. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. I'll drink to that. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. You read it yourself. God's able to make all grace abound towards you. Read it in the Message Bible. Okay. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, "For all things are for your sake, that the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." The abundance of grace might through what? The thankfulness, gratefulness of many, being thankful for what he's done. That's the key, being thankful. May redound to the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 2, it talks about Jesus being crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. Now let's catch that. He, by God's grace, took that gift of God's grace and died for us with that grace so it could abound to all of us. Jesus took that grace and gave it to us, so he could receive another grace. And being highly exalted, and he seated at the right hand of God. It was by the grace of God that he went to the cross. Because he made it clear, I can't do this on my own. Didn't he? Oh. You know, I was thinking there in Luke, I think it's not exactly sure exactly what it said. Let me look just a second. Is it all right if I get sidetracked here just a second? Okay. You go back. When it was time for him to go, I was talking this morning, while you're at the coffee shop, we talked about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And you remember when Peter said, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "Oh, you're Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Peter, that's good. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Do you think he may have got a little swell-headed there just for a second? And it wasn't long until Jesus said, "Simon, Satan has demanded to have you." The word desired is demanded. "That he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And after you're converted, strengthen your brother." Peter said, you know, Jesus said, "It's time for me to go, and you're going to forsake me." Peter said, "Not me. I'm with you, man. I'll even die with you." Where's that coming from? Pride. Now, when he got into pride, Satan had a legal right to demand Peter to sift him. "I won't forsake you, Peter. You'll deny you even know who I am." Now, he went on down here. Jesus said in Luke 22, he says, "When I sent you," he said, "said unto them," verse 35, Luke 22, "When I sent you without a purse or scrip and shoes, lacked you anything?" And they said, "Nothing." Then he said, "But now he that hath a purse, let him take it. Likewise, the scrip, he that hath no sword, let him sell his garments and buy one." Okay? "For I say unto you, this that is written of me must be accomplished in me." Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. "He was reckoned among the transgressors." He was reckoned among the transgressors. He became who we are. At that moment, he couldn't protect his disciples anymore. For a while. For a while. Said, "If you got an extra coat, you better buy you a sword, because I can't take care of you for a while." Because why? He became one of us. He became sin for us. He took everything for us. "For the things concerning me have an end." And they said, "Here's two. Is that enough?" He said, "Yeah." But we see as he goes on down here, and he says in the garden, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup, nevertheless not my will but yours." And he says to them, he goes on, "Why sleep? Arise and pray. Enter into temptation." Now, when Judas brought the ones to him, verse 48, Jesus said, "Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when they came, you know, Peter took the sword, all right, and he smote the servant's ear off and cut his ear off. And Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so." And he touched his ear and put it back. But look what he said in verse 52. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and captains of the temple and elders, which were come out to him, "Be ye come out against the thief as with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me." But look what he said. "But this is your hour and the power of your darkness. I don't have any authority over you right now. This is your hour," because he became one of us. He said, "Go ahead and take me." But you know what? He could have chose not to. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have stopped at any time he wanted to. But he didn't. He said, "You got authority? You take it. Take your best shot." But he didn't. Whew. I'm glad he didn't. Amen. You know, I was thinking about Paul. All the things we're talking about Paul, all the things he suffered. I wouldn't want to have been Paul. How many of you would like Paul's job? I wouldn't want his job. Paul suffered a lot. But I was thinking about the time in Acts chapter 22, I think it is. We'll see if I can find it. Okay. You know, they caught Paul preaching. And they brought him in and they stirred up everybody and had him brought in to have him beaten. And verse 24, Acts chapter 22. "The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that they should examine him by beatings or scourging, that they might know why they cried against him. And as they bound him with, and Paul said to the centurion that stood by, 'Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that's Roman and uncondemned?' And when the centurion heard that, he went on and told the chief captain, saying, 'Take heed what you do to this man, for he's a Roman.' The chief captain came and said, 'Tell me, are you a Roman?' He said, 'Yes.' And the chief captain answered and said, 'With a great sum I obtained this freedom.' Paul said, 'But I was born free.'" There was times when Paul took a beating. Many times when Paul took a lot of beatings. But this time Paul knew something. I have a legal right not to be beaten. And with frankness he said, "You don't have authority to beat me. You with me?" Jesus took a beating for us. We don't have to keep taking beatings. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, and with all frankness say, "You don't have a legal right to put this crap on me anymore. Or my brothers or my sisters. Enough is enough." You see where we're at? We're at the place where now you got your identity, you know who you are, and you know it was by grace through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And when you got all your ducks in a row, you have the authority to be able to stand up and say, "No more, devil. I'm going to say what he said." And he said, "By my stripes, you are healed." You were healed, 1 Peter 2:24, 5. You were healed. It's done. So it's time to it don't matter about Obamacare. It don't matter about anything else that's going on. All that matters is the kingdom of God. We're in this world, but we're not of it. Amen. And we cannot allow all the stuff that's coming on this earth. It says that in time that men's hearts will be failing them for fear of looking what's coming on this earth. Well, quit looking what's coming on this earth. Look what's coming to this earth. Yes. Look what's coming to this earth. Because you know what? We're already seated with him in heavenly places. Why do you want to be depressed? Your head's already in the clouds.
That's right.
Leave it there. Because if you be risen with Christ, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you're dead. And your life is hid in Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So next verse, "Mortify therefore the deeds in the flesh." Don't give it the time of day. Don't allow that sin in the flesh to tell you what it wants. You tell it what to do. Paul said, "I bring my what under subjection? My body. I tell my body what it's going to do. It doesn't tell me what it wants to do." Yep. Take authority over it. This body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. But I promise you one thing. One of these days, this body is going to die. And guess what? This body is not going to be taken to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 says, it will be exchanged in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And he'll give it a body after his glorious body. It'll be another body. So we live in a corruptible body. But while we're living in this corruptible body, it's the temple of the Holy Ghost, and it belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. Amen. We're just using it. But as we're using it, this body has certain rights that's been paid for by his stripes that we can demand Satan to get his hands off of us. Now, what will we start where we started off? What did Niles say? We're going to see the greatest manifestations of healing we've ever seen, because we're going to come to the place where we understand it's not based on you. Amen. It's based on him.
That's right.
And what he's done. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace, and with all frankness we obtain mercy and find grace we need to time of help. Come boldly to the throne of grace with the accuser and say what he says. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. And oh, by the way, the last part of that verse says, and they love not their souls unto death. What does that mean? You're not trying to save your own soul. You got a new one. You say it again. You're not trying to save your old soul. You got a new one.
Right.
Your mind, your will, and your emotion. If you save your soul, you'll lose it. But if you lose it, you exchange it for another one. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
That's enough. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just thank you, Lord, today. Let us see who we are. Not only are we beginning to see who we are. Oh, and by the way, this week, Lord, Tuesday, the Lord spoke to me in the pastor's meeting about identity, and he said, you'll never fully understand who you are till you fully understand who I am. Let me say that again. You'll never fully understand your identity and who you are till you fully understand who I am. Because as I am, so are you in this present world.
Amen.
Amen. That's enough.